My name is Joel Harlow, and it is a pleasure to be with you this morning, to be worshiping with you. You are beautiful worshipers. You have such a beautiful family here. I love it. And there's lots of amazing good things. I don't know how good you know you have it. You know what I mean. There is so much music. There is so much scripture. There is so much... So many wonderful things packed into this one-hour service that I'm going to turn into two. No, I will try to honor that. We want to honor our people that are serving our kids in the children's ministry. So I will do my best to be faithful and not make people work overtime here. Who am I? Why am I here? I brought some pictures, some show-and-tell pictures. Some gratuitous grandchildren photos. Okay, first of all, my laser doesn't work very good on the screen. That's okay. It's a good screen. So y'all know Kevin. I ride bikes with Kevin, and I think that's one of the reasons that he asked me to share with you guys this morning, because he wants you to know that you shouldn't hold the bike riding against him. Kevin and I went to seminary together. Back more years ago than I can count. And he had staying power for ministry. He's been with you guys for 21 years, and Lord willing, he'll be with you for 21 more. No, he won't like that I said that, but I was in ministry, professional ministry, for somewhere between 5 and 7 years, depending on how you count. And I didn't have the maturity as a human being to balance life and husband and kids and family, and I wasn't mature enough as a human being. I was like putting all kinds of stuff on myself that made it really hard for me to figure out balance and what it, anyway, it was a mess. Anyway, so I took a break from ministry. I asked God to teach me to spend more time on my knees, and he made me a tile setter. And I'm actually a contractor today. I own my own company, and so that's a huge blessing. But as Kevin and I have been riding bikes together, we've been talking, and neither one of us is getting any younger, and I know that I can't be on my knees setting tile and slinging a hammer and these things much longer, because my body's not going to let me. And so I've been curious, like, okay, what could be a next chapter for me? And with great fear and intrepidation, I prayed a prayer, put me back in, coach. And and he said, I never took you out. And so Kevin, in his graciousness, as I'm like trying to figure out what the next chapter could be, he's like, oh, maybe you want to try filling in for me a week. And so I'm here. I have family connection to you. I was using my laser to point him out. The two of the grandkids in the photo are John Blair's great-grandchildren. So we have family connection to you guys here. And this over here is my family, my wife and my kids and their spouses. And aren't they beautiful? I love those people. They make life so, so good. Okay, what are we doing today? Kevin asked me, actually, like 3 months ago, which if you ever ask somebody to preach, don't ask them to do it 3 months ahead of time. Do you have any idea how many sermons went through my head? Which is why this morning is going to be so long. So all these things, finally I was like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I was like, oh, God bless the PCUSA. They have a lectionary. That'll tell me what to do. And so the lectionary this morning, one of the scriptures is Colossians. So we're going to come to Colossians this morning. And I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is I'm not going to share anything new with you. Or is that bad news? Either way. I'm not here to like teach you something new. I'm not here to impress you with some deep, profound truth that you don't already know. You know everything that I have to share with you this morning. And I know you know, because you're here worshiping our God. And, but, just because it's not new, just because it's a basic idea, does not mean that it's not profound. It is still an incredibly profound truth in where we are at in our relationship to one another and to God. And so I want to invite us to continue to lean into worship and to lean into what God has for us this morning. We're going to be in Colossians. If we can do the summary slide. Here we go. So we're going to be in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 28. You can find those on page 954 in the Bible in front of you in the pew, if you care to follow along. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, so sorry, I'm not going to use the one that's there. Hopefully you won't get lost. But Paul, this is Colossians. Paul's writing a letter to some people. He's writing from jail. He introduces himself. He's like, hey, Timothy's writing this with me, and Epaphras is going to deliver it to you guys. This is a group effort. We got some things we want to share with you. Great, awesome, good job, church in Colossae. So he introduces himself, and then he kind of gives his, in the verses right before this, he gives his purpose in sharing this letter with them. He says, I want you guys to grow in your knowledge and wisdom and understanding. I want you to live your lives in a way that please God. And I want you to grow in strength and endurance so that you will have joy and thanksgiving in your relationship with God. So that's his purpose. So let's ask God for that. God, we ask you to give us strength and endurance that we may serve you with joy and thanksgiving. God, we want to grow in our knowledge of you, in our relationship with you this morning, and we want everything we do with our lives to bring you joy and pleasure. In Jesus' name. Okay, so this outline for Colossians 15 through 28, it's kind of a long passage. I don't want you to get lost as we read it, so I'm going to give you some things to look for. We're going to start out with, Paul starts out with a hymn. Most commentators and biblical scholars believe that verses 15 through 20 are actually a song, a hymn that the early church sang, and it extols Christ. It reminds us who Christ is. So Paul wants to set this forefront. Check it out. This is who Jesus is. This is Christ. And this is important because of what I'm going to show you in a second here. And so then he goes on. He says, okay, this is your next couple verses, 21, 23. This is your place in the good news. And then Paul talks about his place in verses 21 through 23 and at the end 28. Just a little parenthesis here. When you hear Paul talking about his place in the good news, I want you to hear Kevin's voice. I want you to hear Kevin and what his heart is in his mission with you here. And then in verses 28 and 27, this is the core, this is the big deal. And in Colossae, this is a Greek place. There's this idea of gnosis was kind of this modern religion of the day. Like, okay, if there's some kind of secret knowledge, and that secret knowledge is the key to the universe. And so Paul plays on that. He goes, there's a secret, and I'm going to share it with you. So let's look for those things as we read here. Picking up at verse 15, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created, and he is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't, such as thrones and kingdoms, rulers, authorities, and the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is the body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. He is first in everything, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself, He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. And that kind of brings a close to the song, to the hymn. Now he's going to start preaching. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. You know he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed, this is where you can insert Kevin's name, have been appointed God's servant to proclaim it. I am glad when I suffer for you in the body, for I am participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. God has given me responsibility of serving the church by proclaiming his entire message to you. Here comes the gnosis. The message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles. I think that's most of us. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing in his glory. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom that God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why we work, again, hear Kevin's voice here. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. That was a lot. It's okay. You guys can handle it, right? You're strong. That hymn in the beginning, that's our outline. That's where we're going. That's what I want us to really, really latch on to. Christ is creator of all things. He is reconciler of all things. And he is the one who suffered. And here's the mystery. Paul says, the good news is that Christ lives in you. This is kind of a big deal. Okay, God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. Okay, think this for, like, I know you know that, but like think about it for a second. God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. Okay? Christ in all his fullness is pleased to live in you. Christ, in all his fullness, is pleased to live in you. Now, this has an incredible consequence. That means you. Just as Christ is the image of the invisible God, you are the image of the invisible Christ. Christ is not visible right now, but you are, and you are his image. Now, Kevin told me you guys are really good at being interactive and like jumping in, and you're like, you guys are gonna like give me lots of response, right? Maybe, maybe not, we'll see. Look down and say out loud, these are Christ's hands. Oh, you guys are awesome. You guys are sweet. Oh, this is great. Okay, now that was easy. You're gonna look in the shirt. Now let's look around, find somebody in the auditorium that's probably, hopefully far from you, not like right next to you. Look them in the eyes. Okay, lock eyes with somebody. That is Jesus' face. Tell him from across the room, you look like Jesus to me. That's it, we did it, we can go home. Sweet. You guys got it. I knew I wasn't telling you something new. You guys know this. Okay. So, but I'm supposed to tell you a story. So I love to tell Jesus stories. So we're going to tell a Jesus story. The best way that I could figure out to illustrate this was actually something that happened in Jesus' life, and that's the temptation of Christ. Now, if you remember, Jesus, as soon as he was baptized, he goes out in the desert, and he's fasting for 40 days, and he's being tested, he's being tempted, and the ones that are recorded for us is when he's tempted, he's like, hey, the tempter is like, hey, you're hungry, right? Like, how about you make these stones into bread? Now, Jesus hasn't done a miracle at that point in his ministry, so that's kind of odd. Maybe the tempter knew something about him. Then the tempter shows him all the kingdoms of the world, and he's like, you're like ruler of everything, right? He's like, you can just have this. You don't got to work for it. You can just have it. And Jesus is like, yeah, no, thanks. I got a different plan. And then the tempter brings Jesus to the high point in the temple, and he says, you know, you got a good relationship with God. God's your father. God promises he's going to protect you and keep you safe, and you're not going to strike your foot against a stone. Just jump off and let's see. Let's see how well God protects you. So as we think about these things, the thing that I see that's amazing is if we go back to that hymn in Colossians, at the core of who Christ is creator of all things, Christ is sufferer, and Christ is reconciler of all things. Each of these temptations strike at the very core of who Christ is and his mission here on the planet. And good news, bad news, Christ lives in us. These are the temptations that strike at the very core of who we are as representatives of Christ on this planet. So I'll just, personal confession, make bread, amass power, stay safe. Like that's the personal confession. That's like pretty much all I think about all day. Maybe you're not terribly different than me, but how do I make more bread? How do I get more power, and how do I keep all this safe? And so let's think about these things for a second and look at them and one by one at Christ in his life and who he was and how these were an assault on who he was. So make bread. This is very interesting. So Christ is tempted to make bread. He says no. His first miracle is to turn water into wine. Not so that people could have wine, but so that he could remove shame. The temptation for Christ is to be a consumer rather than a creator. And that's our temptation. That's what's at the core, is to trade our creative opportunity to bless the world, to just take from it and get what we need. 1 Peter 4:10 says, God has given each of you a gift from his creative variety of spiritual gifts. Use them to serve one another well. Christ lives in you. You're a creator. Your creation is for others, not for yourself. Christ in you. Christ lived that out. He showed that to us. Okay, next one is to amass power. Now, there's nothing wrong with making bread. There's nothing wrong with amassing power. There's nothing wrong with trying to stay safe. Like, these strike at, like, basic necessities, right? Like, we got to eat. If there's no one in charge, we're going to have chaos. If we're not safe, there's going to be a lot of people getting hurt. So these aren't like bad and wrong in and of themselves. They just diminish when they become the point. They diminish who Christ is in us, and they diminish who Christ is in our world. So the temptation to be a ruler rather than a reconciler, to tell people what to do rather than to bring people together. Somebody say, wrap this thing up, Pastor, you're going too long. So Jesus is tempted to not be a reconciler, but to become a ruler. His ruling, his subjugation of his enemies is about the principalities and the powers. It's about fear and greed and oppression. These are the things that Christ is going to subjugate and rule over. Not, like, look around, look again at each other's faces. There is no one outside these doors. There is no one inside these doors that is your enemy or Christ's enemy. It's the principalities and the powers that we are going after, that we are fighting a war with, and Christ is going to subjugate ultimately. Okay, next one, stay safe. We got to keep moving here. We got to get to communion. Communion is my favorite part. Being comfortable is quite tempting. And there is an invitation to Jesus to worry about his safety. And he said, I didn't come here to stay safe. I came here to risk it all. Reducing the suffering servant to a safety seeker. That's going to be the temptation, is I don't want to get hurt, and so I'm not going to be Christ. He said, take up your cross. It's not going to be easy. Okay, so where does this, how does this all wrap up? Last slide, I promise. You are creator. You are reconciler. You are sufferer. God has put something unique in every single one of you. A creative force. Maybe that creative force is actually making things like I get to do as a contractor, building environments for people to nurture their families in and whatnot. Maybe that's as a manager of people at work. Maybe you're a cook, maybe you're a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker. God has put a creative force in you because, and we know this, because Christ lives in you, and that's who Christ is, creator of all things. So you are creator. Reconciler, you are reconciler. We all been tempted to tell people what to do. But that's not who Christ is in us. Christ brings people together. He doesn't rule over people. You are a sufferer. You are somebody who's willing to get their hands dirty. We don't want, it's nice to be comfortable, but at the end of the day, do you want to stand on a mountaintop and see the hill that you climbed? Or do you want to sit on your couch and watch it on TV? Like, one is comfortable, one requires hard work. Blood, sweat, and tears. Christ is in you. You got blood, sweat, and tears for this world. And it needs them. And you, I really believe that you want to give them. So we're going to get to communion here in a second. And I'm excited about that. Bridget's going to share with us. Let me pray. God, you are in us, and we thank you for that. Amen.